Hello and welcome to episode 13.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for coming. It's so nice to see you.
Hey man, I forgot my recorder. Have you got something?
He fucked up.
And what I noticed in your bathroom is that if you're looking at the way the lighting is, there's a mirror over your sink and over your toilet, right? And the mirror over your toilet, I'm like, yeah, cool. And then I turn around to the other mirror and it's really harsh and I'm like, oh, gray hairs and shit. So I don't know, I like that you got.
Also, if you look into the distance of the mirror facing south.
Infinite?
Yeah, you get the infinite mirror effect.
Oh, I didn't even try that.
And also for me, the mirror that I have the most problem with is the one that you saw yourself as like, oh, I look great. Because the other mirror, the one that you were like, oh, I got gray hairs and I look old and shit, that's the one that I see fucking all my hair falling out.
Oh, so we're reverse?
Yeah.
Jack Sprat and all that shit?
Welcome to Smarkamania. Episode 13.
Do you have no gray hairs? I mean, I know you're younger than me, but like none?
No, there's a couple. There's like one, there's probably one gray hair. Did you see this one?
Because I got my first one when I was like 20, so that's just, you know, just asking. All right, continue your introduction.
I can't remember. What, are you jealous about how, look, your hair is lying, it's fucking great. I actually noticed that you do not have a haircut right now. Your hair's getting a little longer.
Yeah, this was like buzzed it in the summer, and it's just. Yeah.
I think when we first started doing this show, you had like a straight up buzz cut style. Yeah.
All right, so Smarkamania 13, which happens to be Ring of Honor 13th anniversary,
yep.
Which is an indie show. So we thought, what a fun thing with indie production. Why don't we also have indie production and we'll record on a phone instead of our normal recorder?
Now, that was the course that we were willing to take. At first, and as the night drew upon us and we realized we don't have the proper means, we realized, you know what, it's really indie, not having the means to fucking record ourselves properly.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I was so preoccupied with bringing beer to drink that I didn't even bring my recorder.
Man, that's, you sound like me.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that I would do.
Yeah, it's rubbing off, man.
You never want to be like me, brother. So... ROH presents.
So should we give real quick ROH history? What is your ROH history? How much do you know about it?
Okay,
Ring of Honor?
I've no. That's a really broad question. Do you want to? Well, we go back to the time when they were first new 13 years ago.
So that is kind of my story, but...
They had superstars like Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan, known as Bryan Danielson. And,
that's what... Not even. He was the American Dragon back then.
But he was still the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, because I kind of thought it was... Well, let me just tell you. I'll just tell you my story first.
Well, you tell me something, brother.
So, yeah, way back in 2003-ish, I guess, I still worked at a comic store. I was about to move away and go off and have a real life. But at this point, I still worked at the same comic store I started working at when I was in high school. But the good thing about working at a comic store is people give you Japanese horror movies and weird wrestling tapes and whatever. So somebody just started lending me Ring of Honor, and it was brand new. So I remember Christopher Daniels because he was a big deal, but I kind of, I don't know, something about him seemed kind of douchey, and I didn't really like him.
Well, do you remember his original gimmick in TNA?
Not TNA, no.
He was the Chosen One or the fucking Immortal One or something. Like, he was like...
Half a vampire?
Well, kind of. He wore like a long, like a leather duster,
right,
and came out to the ring like, I'm the Chosen One, Christopher Daniels.
He always just seemed to me like the kind of guy that will argue with you about how God doesn't exist. Like, and it's like, yeah, I agree. Calm down. You
know? And I think it goes down like that through his entire career, because eventually he gets to him and Kazarian become a tag team. And they have martinis as their gimmick for a while in the back scenes of, behind the scenes of TNA. And now they're the Addiction. So what I feel like their gimmick is like, he was like a God-loving guy, and Kazarian was like somebody without hope, without a path. and Daniels comes in and says, hey, let's get fucked up on Apple Teenies. And then following that, we're the addiction. We're so addicted. We're going to fucking do things in our veins. We're going to do things up our noses. They're the addiction. And also, you'll get addicted to them.
But yeah, I do remember from these tapes, basically, just like, and I would just put them into the comic store and let them play while I was working, which is, man, that job. I miss that job.
I believe it.
But basically, the people I remember were Christopher Daniels and, yeah, American Dragon, Brian Danielson. And Spanky was there, who later went on to be Brian Kendrick. It was Sliced Bread number 2 was his finisher, because it's the best thing since sliced bread. He was my favorite. So now we fast forward 13 years, and I guess Christopher Daniels is still there. Everyone else is gone.
It's pronounced the Brian Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, my mistake. And I remember because I would kind of just really vaguely keep my eye on wrestling a little through all those years. And when I found out that he got signed to WWE, I was like, that is amazing that weird little guy from Ring of Honor. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, so I guess, like, I had a lot to catch up on Ring of Honor because I knew it from 13 years ago. And then I watched one episode last week, and I was like, oh, those Briscoe brothers are cool. And that's it. That's all I knew.
I guess the question you did ask me is, like, catch me up on ROH, and I've done...
Yeah, so how much do you know about ROH going into this? Because, like, when we went into, Wrestle Kingdom, we mostly didn't know much. Do you know more about ROH?
I knew more about ROH than Wrestle Kingdom. I've seen ROH live once back in, I believe, end of 2013. And all the people that wrestled tonight will get through, and more. They were the guys that were the guys up and coming. The thing is we get to Wrestle Kingdom 9 and New Japan, of course. And we get to that point and we realize that they've taken their two brands and they've just mixed them together. And they've created this card that's mostly a Japanese wrestling pay-per-view, but at the same time, these storylines have to filter out into an indie fed. And that indie fed, of course, is ROH. So, this is now what? When was Wrestle Kingdom?
It was 3 months back now.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the year. It was like January 4th. I think that's the official date. And back watching then, and I mean, so much has happened in wrestling as a whole. Once we get to some arbitrary in-your-house style pay-per-view for ROH, when I say in-your-house style pay-per-view, of course, I mean WWE. And it really...
WCW, in your house. Those would be the best.
That would be I think WCW could have won the Monday Night War if they would have done something like that. At any rate, we sort of have this situation where ROH has so much to gain by having the Bullet Club. And of course, that's a spoiler, but the Bullet Club really transcends the whole wrestling thing right now, because in the indies, in this particular sect of the indies, you can see how a wrestling promotion that's in Japan affect a lesser American indie promotion. And on top of that, they go to every city. Every city. So all these people are seeing them do this thing. Double Jeff Jarrett was a thing they say later on. I made a note about it. But Double Jeff Jeff Jarrett has his fucking stranglehold on professional wrestling and the indies right now. And I feel like he's not going to pick apart, like, the territories like Vince McMahon did. He literally believes in his moniker global.
It was cool too. Yeah. Like, this was similar in a lot of ways to Wrestle Kingdom. And it was cool to see all those guys again. It almost like wouldn't have killed them to throw in some of the Japanese wrestlers, you know, a one match wouldn't have been bad.
I'm fairly certain that in Japan, there was a New Japan show at the same time. I know Doc Gallows, as we'll get to, he was not a part of his match that he was supposed to be with Machine Gun Anderson. But I read a tweet from him that said that he was stuck in, like, Ohio or something.
Yeah, no, it's weird, too. I was just thinking with Bullet Club, like, it's so... Like, wrestling is just obviously weird and bizarre and crazy, and Grado can just get over and whatever. Like, it's a weird world. Oh, I watched that match, by the way, Grado versus Al Snow.
Yep.
For a 50-year-old man, Al Snow looks mean and scary.
Al Snow is the most jacked-up roid freak I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's nuts. But it's cool with Bullet Club, because, like...
Speaking of nuts, You ever hear the story about Mick Foley talking about the fact that...
I did hear that story.
Anyway, for all you wrestling fans that don't know about it, Mick Foley gave Al Snow a suplex one time and pulled his shorts up to expose his balls on purpose. That's what it reminds me of, this whole fucking hashtag Fire Bill DeMont bullshit, which is bullshit. Well, I don't know if it's bullshit. This might be the fucking Juggalo Report of wrestling.
Well, I was going to say about Bullet Club, like, it's one of those things, like, you can't plan for that, you know, it's just like a cool thing that happens and you're just happy that people like it, but it really does help because, yeah, you can just throw these people on this pay-per-view and maybe you know them, but even if you don't, you're like, oh, it's a Bullet Club and their music's cool and I heard of them before, and like it really does help like grease the gears and make the show just easier to watch.
It's true, but to get to our first match, it was Cedric Alexander versus Matt Sydal, of course. As I had to point out to you, that was Evan Bourne. Matt Sydal doesn't really do a lot of the high-flying stuff in this match. And, you know, he gets off a standing moonsault as one of his specials. And basically, Sydal lands on his neck at one point. You remember that, right?
I mean, everybody landed on their neck at some point.
But... Oh my god. There's a lot to be said about how all the wrestlers take these moves that are the most dangerous. And that's what I've always loved about ROH. Cedric hits a sit-down power slam, and there's a two count. Sydal hits the airborne, and that's what I was wondering. If you are now Matt Sydal, and your old WWE move is the same move as your Matt Sydal finisher, do you call it the airborne still?
Wasn't Sydal, no, it was Sindel, right? Mortal Kombat character.
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. I was talking about ROH Immortals, have you played that yet?
I love it. Man,
NXT Matt Sindel Immortals, is badass.
Yeah. CZW Immortals would be the greatest game. So, we get a promo after this with Mark Briscoe. Yeah. He talks about hunting. He looks like a terrorist. And then after that, of course, we get a promo from Moose. They show the accolades of his character. They make sure that we all know that he is a football player. He's a jacked-up roided football player, and he's the most jacked-up roided football player.
He's wicked tall. That's his main thing.
He's wicked tall.
So, yeah, so I just, last week, I guess, I was just clicking around on Watch Wrestling, and I was like, oh, ROH, sure, let's watch one. And their TV episodes look like shit. It's just a big problem that they should work on because this pay-per-view looked great. It was fine. But the main thing that stuck out to me is, like, I heard of the Briscoe brothers because it confused me because of Mark and Jerry Briscoe. So that's really all I knew about them. So when he showed up, I was like, Mark Briscoe. Okay, I've heard of these Briscoe guys. I guess they're cool. And he was. He was super, super cool. He was all, like, half like a monkey and doing weird, I'm like a crazy hillbilly on moonshine, out of my mind moves. And he was super cool. And I texted you. I was like, man, these Briscoe dudes are cool. And you were like, yeah, except on Twitter, Jay Briscoe keeps talking about hating gay people. And I had just looked up their wikis and saw that also. And I was like, fuck, like, these are the kind of standout guys that are super cool. And I still kind of like them, and they're still kind of super cool. But I just can't go all in because they suck. They're hillbillies. They're Americans. You know what I'm saying?
They don't suck. And you know what? I'm gonna reveal this spoiler that it's going to come up to a point of later. The Briscoe split up, to me, is the same disdain I feel about the not Bray, but the rest of the Wyatts being split up. I'll never not see Eric Rowan and Luke Harper together. I can't differentiate those guys as not a tag team. And I even feel like they're going to be our fucking Undertaker and Kane for the next 20 years. Like, there's a sinking feeling inside of me. To relate
to that, I think they'll be lucky if they're around for more than 2 years, but, I mean, especially Rowan. But.
The exact antithesis of this conversation lies in the fact that Moose, who looks like a roided-up Bobby Lashley, and that means a lot.
that's literally the craziest thing anyone's ever said.
By roided up, I mean just way taller than Bobby Lashley. He can do fucking the craziest moves that I've ever seen. Remember when he did the standing drop kick to Briscoe on the top rope and kicked him out of the ring.
Oh, see, now here's the other downside to these first, like, three matches. And it was a shame with this one because, like, I was into this Briscoe guy and I wanted to watch him. But, see, the big problem was your fiancé has recently watched some Fast and the Furious films.
Nope. Canceling this conversation.
I'm just saying,
will not come into this.
That's why I missed the details of these first few matches, is because I was deep in a conversation.
I'm going to get us through the matches you did not see. I refuse to talk about that. That shall not be listed.
Fair enough.
And fuck.
So on to... On to Moose's
Moose
next
wins
move.
With the Moose flip spear, is what I'm calling it.
Oh,
he does a spear, but he himself flips over.
I love so much when... our friend Ben was here and had to go home, so he's not on the podcast. But Moose did some weird move that was like...
The vigilante Ben.
But Moose did this move that was like... I mean, it was basically just punching a guy in the nuts, like a leaping nut punch. But he's like, oh, that's called the Moose knuckle. That cracked me up.
Yeah, no, that was really good. He could reiterate that for us if it wasn't just a guy that's not here right now.
Yeah, that's a classic finisher move. Your name's Moose. Like, it's obvious.
So... I'm going to ask, this is the soup report now.
Mm-hmm.
Out of a possible 17 bowls of soup, how did you rate the match between Moose Knuckle and Somersault?
Well, I liked it better than Fast 4, but Tokyo Drift is...
Guy, dude!
Yeah, to be fair, The Rock was in some of those movies.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's like wrestling related. He was in Ring of Honor, right?
Yep. You know what? You want to be the best? I would watch ROH if The Rock was like, well, let me tell you something. The Rock's in ROH now. And that's the bottom line. Yeah. That's The Rock.
It would be so confusing. Yeah, The Rock debuts in Ring of Honor, and he's named Rocky, I don't know, High Chief Rocky Johnson.
High Chief Rocky Maivia. No, he just changes his whole name to fucking Rocky Maivia.
And he says, and that's the bottom line, because Ring of Honor's told you that that's how it is.
This is their fucking most experimental episode ever.
And then, yeah, like, that's a smart test. If you watch that and you're like, that's the greatest I've ever seen, you're too deep.
If you're listening right now, you found a new place in your mind. So the next match, of course.
Recording in progress.
The Kingdom, which I'm pretty sure was Maria Kanellis' fucking husband and that other guy.
Oh, is that who they were?
Kylan O'Reilly or whatever? No, Fishbone or Ding Dong or later in the
If
car.
It's not Kingdom James, I could give a shit.
Okay, so The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. Versus the Bullet Club. The reason why I'm laughing is because Carl Andrews.
Is that what those sounds are?
Yes, that's how I laugh. Okay. Fucking Machine Gun Andrews comes on. He says, "Doug Gallows is stuck down in a fucking Ohio style place where the snow's happening." Just to go behind the scenes a little bit. On top of that. Doc Ellis was stuck in an airport because of the weather. I didn't mean to bring it down.
Man, so you want to bring it down for a sec. The reason I even
I said I didn't want to bring it down.
I misunderstood.
Huge pop for The Addiction. Now, all of you Wrestle Club fans who are listening right now, and this is for you. This is extended content right now. You saw Christopher Daniels fight tonight. You saw Samoa Joe tonight. And you saw... The Usos, because you're probably at home watching Main Event by now. But anyway, The Addiction, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels got a huge pop.
But I mean, isn't that because Christopher Daniels has been in ROH for 800 years?
Read that back.
Double Jeff. So is this where it happened?
Yeah. That's when the announcer said Double Jeff. So anyway.
But it must not have been Kevin Kelly where you would have wrote KK Hart with an arrow through it.
Schmal City. We get a This Is Awesome chant. Carl Anderson hits an out of nowhere. And that's what we've been calling the RKO since my inception of that, right?
Right.
Really? You're just going to agree to that?
Well, I mean, sure, right?
What about your shameless self-promotion?
Didn't we come up with Randy Orton as a... I got nothing.
The Kingdom win. Yeah, so not to get super meta about it, but I'm going to explain this next match, and then I'm going to smoke a cigarette while Keith watches me do it. And washes me.
It's real cold outside, are you sure?
Washes. BJ Whitmer versus Roderick Strong. So here's the thing for me coming into this. Roderick Strong, fucking, I thought he was like this huge wrestler guy. And it just turns out that him and, not Adrian Neville, but Nigel McGuinness, those guys are just like guys with like real long names. They'll never make it in the WWE with names like that.
Well, old Roddy Strong, this is the first time I've seen him wrestle, but he's going to be a super kicked at the end of the month. But there's this podcast, Straight Shoot. They just review, you know, Raws every week.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot. And he's been on it a few times, and I like him. And, like, there's a lot of indie guys that don't want to, like, talk critically about WWE because, oh, I might be in it someday. So I like that he doesn't give a shit. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you if this match was dumb. So he was really good on a podcast. Tonight, I don't know that he's my favorite wrestler.
I wrote a paragraph about how I feel about Roderick Strong.
Yeah? And, I mean, to say he's not my favorite, it's not a bad thing. He's just not Ciampa. You know what I'm saying? Okay, go on.
He's not Ciampa. That's true. You want to hear the paragraph I wrote about...
Is it... Yes.
Pretty boring match. Back and forth. Roderick Strong wins with a suplex into a codebreaker. It's not a haiku, you sons of bitches. Yeah, it's the end of that. It's done now. So we get a promo for...
So about now, we stopped discussing Fast and the Furious films, and then I started paying more attention to the pay-per-view. I'm just saying that's what happened.
Now I'm mad at you. So we get a pro... Fuck, I'm reliving the entire night by reading through this and you yelling about fucking the Fasts and the Furious.
Yeah, see, I felt a little like, I'm like, oh, I should be paying more attention to the wrestling. But who... I feel like me and your fiancé both are in the same boat. We're like, no one will talk to us about these movies. We have to talk to each other. That's all we got. That was maybe the saddest story I've ever heard, when she was like, you know, the 7th movie's coming out soon, and maybe no one will go with me. That's what I made it my mission, that I need to gather a posse to go to that movie. All right, let's move on.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall, and it is for...
That's actually... So, speaking of, this is ODB and Kanellis, right? So, Maria Kanellis and Roddy Strong, they were both on Straight Shoot recently.
Roderick Strong!
Right, sorry. And that's how I found out about this, because she was like, yeah, I got a match against ODB, and then that's how I knew that Ring of Honor 13 was happening. So, there's that story.
So we get a promo for ODB versus Kanellis. ODB... is back, and she's with the Briscoes now. The following contest, scheduled for one fall, is for the ROH supposed women's championship. Introducing first, the champion, Maria Kanellis, and her opponent, old dirty bitch. What are we going to say?
I think it's one dirty bitch for her. She doesn't call herself old.
Oh.
But
that makes way more sense.
Maria's belt was spoiler alert, it was wicked. It was like pink and had tons of fur all over it, and I liked it. It really was like a bath mat that, well, like, I'm in Mean Girls or something.
Yeah, well, it was basically, she had a bath mat as a championship. We'll get to the what happens and the after fact, but
Maria
Kanellis is basically like, I'm pregnant. I'm glad that everybody in the back has been so supportive of me.
And she was wearing, like, a potato sack.
Yeah, and then Maria's husband comes in. He super kicks Mark Briscoe. He goes down. She rips off her fucking potato sack, and it becomes a sexy wrestling match.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, Rhino has returned recently in NXT.
Yeah.
And he's older. And that's super wicked, because he's got, like, lines in his face, and he just looks tougher, and he looks more cool. I feel like Maria is a similar situation where, you know, she was always really hot. But now that she's older, she's probably, like, 30 also by now. But it kind of makes her more hot. She's, like, in that MILF category of, like, on a porn site or something. And it's, like, just, like, a little bit, like, more, like, I don't have a word for it. I just like it.
Well, Maria hits ODB with the belt. basically. Right. After Maria's husband, Bennett, I think, comes in and super kicks Briscoe.
Her husband, by the way, is the worst, I'll just say, for not hitting his wife.
Well, Bennett accidentally, at one point, fucking just super kicks her in the face, and later on, he spears her off the apron. So what I'm imagining is, like, they sort of a feud right now that involves them not fucking up all the time. Or fucking up all the time, I guess.
Wait, who has a feud? I was checking if this recording was in progress. It is.
Is it in progress? Yeah. We're going to get there. We just have to stay the course, and I hope to God that we're doing good news, dog. ODB wins with a weird fireman carry, and I even wrote that down in quotes, but we got through all of it.
But yeah, so Maria's husband, though, that was what was weird, is that was what was weird, is that he not only hit his wife once, he did it twice.
Yeah.
And you gotta do it once or 16 times. Don't do it twice. That was weird.
No, they're gonna have some things to talk about behind the scenes tonight. So anyway, ODB pulls all the fucking, like, garbage off of the belt. There were stickers. There were, like, it's already on leather that is pink. But it had, like, this pink, like, shag carpet sort of attached to the back. She rips it all off. They take all that off the BS belt. And the following contest.
I was going to say that with that one. I liked how, I don't remember which commentator it was. I don't remember Kevin Kelly's sweet voice anymore to identify him. But even though Maria pretended she was pregnant just at the start, just to get in one cheap hit, one of the announcers didn't seem to understand that it was a work. He just kept, like, referencing pregnancies and, she got hit right in the belly.
Pregnant. What if she's pregnant? Well, actually, she's already been slumped several times. But she's a pregnant woman.
We saw how Stacey Keibler in 2000 it was here in her. No. What a maneuver to get her pregnant.
Steve Corino, I feel like, is that fucking fat guy from the late 90s in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Not literally him, but...
Scott Canada.
Scott Canada. So next we get ECH. I have no idea what that stands for. I know, like, the C and the A form to be in, like, a four.
Now, I remember...
AJ Styles.
Before this match started, you were like, oh, dude, ACH, this guy rules. You should pay attention. So where did you hear about his ruling?
I heard about his ruling from watching him live in ROH.
Primary source.
Yeah.
Wikipedia could cite you right now.
No, it's true. Go look it up. Or don't. Whatever. It might have been the other guy that looks exactly like ACH, to be honest. But what I did write down, the most important fact about this, is this was the match with the most streamers for AJ. Mm. They threw all the streamers at AJ.
How do you feel about these streamers? Like, I get that it's ROH's thing, but there sure were a lot of streamers.
It's the mutual respect. I think the streamers are the last remaining vestibule of people being very respectful about the honor that goes into Ring of Honor.
Right. Yeah, because that's something I meant to bring up. Those old tapes that I borrowed back in the, you know, early 2000s, they were so big on that. Like, it's everyone had to shake hands, and I definitely remember because that was... Christopher Daniels' whole thing is that he wouldn't shake hands, and it was like, it was pretty weak, and it was a really dumb, because it was like putting a weird angle on a whole promotion. So I'm glad they got away from that, but now they got streamers, so I don't know.
Well, the streamers thing is synonymous with independent wrestling nowadays. It seems like in the Superkick show that we saw, like, not the last one, but the one before, they were definitely using the streamer gimmick. And what if we just bring fucking pockets? Like, we bring a duster, and every pocket is filled with streamers, and just fucking streamer up the ring, pass them out to friends.
Yeah, that would work. So the streamers are going to come up in my personal mental notes twice more. We'll see if I remember.
Remember it. So anyway, ACH knocks the mouth guard out of AJ's mouth. And they have that weird moment. And that's where we get into with the respect thing. ACH gets punched out of the ring. Like, he was, like, sitting at the bottom of the ropes, and fucking AJ Styles just fucking knocks him the fuck out of the ring. ACH hits a moonsault out over the ropes to AJ. Like, he does, like, a classic moonsault, just, like, standing moonsault out of the ring. ACH misses a 540. AJ gets the Styles Clash. AJ Styles wins.
Boom.
Pretty good match.
Member of the Bullet Club, but not with the Bullet Club's music, which is a shame because I'm starting to like that song.
Bullet Club, Bullet Club, we're got two bullets and we're in a club.
It's weird because it's like, it's one of those like Japanese wrestling themes. It's kind of like we were joking earlier about like the old WWE, like the SmackDown music. And the Bullet Club music is kind of like that. You can, but you can barely make out the words. It's like, I'm with my gun. Like, you can only understand the word gun. But it's still a cool song.
I walk for miles inside this pit of danger. So the following contest scheduled for one fall is for the ROH Tag Team Championship. Introducing first, the challengers, the Young Bucks.
Who we found out through the tail of the tape have been wrestling since 2000. What the fuck?
2002, in fact. And their opponents, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, I think. The champions. Re-Dragon. And I refuse to see it any other way. Or Dr. Red Dragon. Dr. Red Dragon.
So yeah, this is basically, is very similar to the Wrestle Kingdom, except only half as many. But really, like, I don't even remember who the other two tag teams were. It was the communist guys and...
Yeah, I think in
this... Oh, and it was Shelton Benjamin and his friend, right?
Is this in the match? Is this what I said where the guy on commentary is like, yeah... No, maybe it's later. Anyway.
But it was kind of cool because it was like the Wrestle Kingdom match, but just kind of whittled down to like, here's the real deal. Boom.
Looking at the real deal now.
That's what the bookers say backstage. They're like, can we D'Lo Brown this just like a little? Just get it right down to the sweet, sweet innards.
If he just pins him 1, 2, 3 and then looks up at the camera and the audience at the same time. You're looking at the real deal now.
Oh, so here's a little behind the scenes. I don't remember how this came up, but I was like, hey, do you ever think about what so-and-so is doing right now? And you said, like, hey, when I was a kid, I used to think that about Michael Jackson. Like, yep. I wonder what Michael Jackson is doing right now. What do you think D'Lo Brown is doing right now?
Sleeping.
That's a fair answer. It's late at night. All right, moving on.
So the mysterious red mask guys... Let's talk about that for a second.
Oh, the guys in the crowd, yeah.
I wrote down Red Dawn, but then it's scratched out with what I assume is the Rising Dawn. I think that's what they were called.
The Re-Dragon.
Well, yeah. But we get to see the Young Bucks administer a jumping tombstone to the outside.
So these guys in the crowd, it's like they cut to the crowd and there's these three guys in hoods and red masks. But I wasn't really that into that because... at our local Superkicked indie shows, there's these same thing, three guys that have masks, but they're these creepy cool pig masks, and just Slipknot alone. Every mask. There's like eight guys in Slipknot, and they all have cool masks. These guys just have red masks. It wasn't cool enough. And then later we'll talk about Ciampa and his cool-ass Dr. Doom mask. So these red guys, it's too little. You need a cooler mask.
And the next thing I have written down in the first place is, this is awesome. So, I mean, we were feeling it at that point. The Young Bucks hit their triple finisher. They did three moves, three high-risk maneuvers in a row. But the thing is the UFC chick interferes. And what we didn't say is the Red Dragon came out with a girl that kind of looked like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out her name.
No, we couldn't figure out her name as well. And she interferes. She pulls on the foot.
I'm pretty sure her name was Interrupty McGee.
Interrupty Magoosterstein. Then Red Dragon do their triple maneuver. Look, if you want to see like a tag team do a triple tag team maneuver to a guy, and then the next thing you see is the other tag team does a triple maneuver to the other guys, you want to watch this match from ROH 13th anniversary.
Man, though, that is a kick in the dick, right? Where, I mean, it's not uncommon for somebody to interrupt a pin.
But the kick in the dick is really the two count.
Right.
That Red Dragon gets from doing their three moves back.
But even, I was just thinking too, like, it's so crazy that you know, normally an interruption of, like, the chick who interrupted the pin, it's usually not something so epic that's interrupted. Like, the Young Bucks did the best move in the world, and it just got interrupted. I'm like, damn.
The best move in the world was countered.
Yeah.
That's what I love. I think the tag teams in ROH have, like, their easel in
their toolbox, their painter's, palette.
Palette, brother. The palette that the indie guys have to work with. Like, they booked this finish to have a situation where we're going to do our three best move, like, combo, and then you do your three best move combo. But what ends up happening is there's a bit of a schmoz between everybody that's involved. And Red Dragon retain their belts after doing a move called Chasing the Dragon, which was literally like you hold a guy for a suplex and kick him in the side.
Did everybody retain tonight?
Yes.
Shit.
Spoilers. So the next match we saw was Alberto Del Patron.
El Patron.
Who, of course, is Alberto Del Rio.
Get the D out, Jason. Remember that whole campaign, Alberto?
Get the F out. versus Jay Lethal, who is the champion. And this is for the television championship.
What if that had been Get the W Out and they were just called F?
What if they were just called the Foundation?
Did I ever tell you? I might have told you this because I have a history of forgetting when I tell people anecdotes. But so I was still huge into wrestling when they switched from WWF to WWE. And my mom, historically, is huge into the World Wildlife Fund. She's supported them for decades. So for a Christmas present, as a joke, I open up this present and it's like, congratulations, Keith McNally, you have donated $80 to the World Wildlife Fund. And she did it just to fucking troll me because I was so pissed about the initial change.
That's a lot like the gift from my stepmom every year, which is one of those calendars that allegedly, if you go and check online every day, you could possibly win maximum $5,000.
Hmm.
It's equal to the most unthoughtful present you could possibly get.
You know, I do a podcast. I started a podcast.
You do a podcast?
Yeah. I started this other one where just because I don't talk to my mom enough, I literally call her every week and do a podcast with her. We're like 2 months into this thing. So I mentioned to her, I was like, I'm just finding things to talk about. So I'm like, yeah, we went to wrestling. We went to like a wrestling event. It was super cool. And this is the disrespect pro wrestling gets, where she knows I was huge into wrestling back in the day. And she was still like, you mean like that wrestling you used to watch on TV or like, you know, like wrestling. So that is that story.
No, it's like wrestling. Del Rio comes out to stereotypical Mexican music. Like, but more like, boom, boom, boom. Anyway, so that's when I realized that the Warner Chappell Music division of production companies does all of the theme songs.
And that's where we started hypothesizing, since Sin Cara means without a face and Rey Mysterio means King Mystery and
yep,
all these names are cool, that Alberto Del Patron must mean Alberto get crunked on tequila.
I believe it means Alberto Del Rio in English.
Yeah, and I said Del, it's L. I always forget.
Alberto the Life.
The El Rey Network literally means the king. You know you're not the king of networks. You know that.
No, that's true. Like,
not even in Mexico, you're not the king.
You're probably better than Telemundo, if that's your name, though. But it might be like a more of a Spike TV situation where, like, you know, you try to rebrand yourself and you keep the same name.
Booyaka, booyaka, hey, Paltrona. Did we say Jay Lethal versus Jay Lethal?
Yep. Jay Lethal versus Jay Lethal. The thing that I love about Jay Lethal is that he had the Macho Man Randy Savage gimmick in, what? In,
all right, we got a comment on this. So just in the background, we have WWE superstars playing, and the Ascension are beating up some jobbers, and somehow one of the jobbers got caught between the, like, the apron and the ring.
Yep. He gave him the old apron slam.
What was that?
Jesus Christ, they're just, like, dismantling these jobbers.
And this guy looks just like bearded Sam Roberts.
Okay. God damn it.
Or bearded, I hate people that are not cool. What was his name? Carlito.
Carlito. So anyway, the Host of Truth has a full screen intro when they come to the ring. Like, the whole screen is taken up by the Host of Truth, so it's a good production build. The production value is in-your-house-esque.
Right.
Like that level. Commentary fucks up and says Alberto Del El Patron. Truth Martini comes in, and Del Rio gives him the armbar. Lethal comes off the top, and Patron gets caught in the same armbar that Truth Martini was just caught in. So Jay Lethal uses the blood, is what I have written down. Oh, Jay Lethal does his finisher, and two count. So Truth Martini ends up getting the book that he's come out to the ring with, and it's the Truth book or whatever. He comes down to the head again on the other guy, who of course is Alberto Del Rio. Oh, he comes in with the
Alberto Del El Rey Network, yep. Patron.
Del Rey Network. And Lethal gets the out-of-nowhere RKO.
You know, Truth Martini, you know what that makes me think of?
Yes.
His Guar's manager, Sleazy P. Martini.
Yeah, man, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
I managed to see Guar live like 3 times before Odorous died, and I'm glad I went. And that's good, because there was literally 3 times before that I missed them. The whole time I lived in Vancouver, every time I'm like, I'll go next time. I never went. So when I moved to Ontario, I'm like, I'm seeing Guar every time.
And you're provoking me, aren't you? Because you know very well about me that I had all of those opportunities to see Guar. Mm. And I'm a fan of the television show Holliston. Mm. And I never got to see Dave Rocky live.
Well,
I kept doing I'll see them next time. And I'm sure one day I'll see Guar, but I'm never going to see Dave Brocky.
See, that's interesting. Yeah, because when I was in my I'll see them next time phase, I was your age. I got older and wiser, and he was still alive. The problem is, when you get older and wiser, he's going to be dead.
Yeah, so he dies in my timeline. Yeah.
Well, it was great, in case you were wondering.
But speaking of great, after that whole schmoz with Truth Martini, we get Samoa Joe.
What's that name? Samoa Joe?
Samoa Joe. Oh, what was the thing that I said? Something Carl. Something Kyle. Polynesian Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like if Samoa
Polynesian
Joe.
Polynesian Steve. Yeah.
If he goes to WWE, does he get a new name? Yeah. Polynesian Steve. That would be the best. I wouldn't put it past them at all.
Introducing first, from the Isle of Samoa, Polynesian Steve.
I love so much that video somebody made recently of like the rise and fall of WWE.
Yep.
And it was all people referring to WCW, but it was all appropriate. So they were obviously talking about Bischoff, but it also means Vince of like, yeah, he had some great ideas, but he had no way of telling.
Did you notice that in that promo, when they showed the last Sting photo, it was the trees coming up and it looked like the fucking Triple H skull?
Holy fuck, I didn't notice
that. Look at that, it's just Sting's face in the trees. God damn it, I think I went too far off track.
Yeah, maybe I'll cut this. I don't know. But it's like a time capsule for aliens. They'll know what was happening in wrestling.
Like a Blomkamp version of Alien.
Yeah, see, that's the best way to do...
Neil Blomkamp.
Don't do a podcast worrying about, like, oh, who cares what the present thinks about it. Think about the aliens, alien archaeologists, that find our skulls and go, yeah, skull!
I love skulls! On that same note, here's the next thing that Samurai Joe cuts.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Are we still talking about Polynesian Steve?
Yep. I wrote down Samurai Joe cuts a promo about bringing wrestling back to wrestling fans. And he's gassed after cutting all of these promos.
Bro, look at Cameron. Bro, look on TV. Look on
at Cameron.
Let me tell you. So I haven't been doing very well with my. Maybe
don't
I'll try.
Bring this. Don't bring that into this podcast.
Maybe I'll
man.
Try to watch skip less over porn.
It.
But
skip over it.
It's difficult when I see Cameron. It's really hard.
Yeah, don't look at Cameron.
Okay.
#Don't look at Cameron.
Oh, there's Rikishi. Samoa, the original Samoa Steve. That's why Polynesian Steve is a junior.
I love Polynesian Steve. Hey, he's my favorite wrestler.
Hey, do you remember when everyone was like, I wonder who ran over Steve Austin?
Yes.
And then we found out Rikishi did it.
Well, we found out that Rikishi was trying to help with The Rock, but The Rock didn't want any part of it, and it turned out to be Triple H, actually, in the end.
Oh, I guess. But was it really him, or was he just a cerebral assassin?
Polynesian Steve.
I don't know. I think that's when I first started realizing that wrestling was not pre-planned in the slightest. And they're like, really? Rikishi ran over Austin? Because he had, during his brief heel run, he had really good music. It was like, I'm a bad man. Boom, 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 boom. I'm a bad man. Having twins. Teaching them how to wrestle. All right, what were we talking about?
So Samoa Joe, Polynesian Steve, says, I am pro wrestling, and he leaves, and they throw a lot of streamers at him.
Yeah, I said I had two more streamer references. Reference number one, he had a single green streamer attached to his chest for too much of that promo, and it made him look uncool, and I don't know about these streamers.
Keith, here's a little trivia for you. Mm-hmm. Who is the next guy to have too many streamers attached to him?
Too many streamers? I don't know. Oh, imagine. You mean in this very pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Let me look at your notes and I'll tell you.
No, it's on several other pages. Nigel McGuinness comes to ringside. The following contest, scheduled for one fall, is a fatal four-way for the ROH Championship. Introducing first, the challengers, the Sicilian Psychopath, Tombstone Chimp, Dr. Dog for Doom.
Wait, are we at the main event already?
Jay Briscoe is a badass. And the other guy. Yeah, we're at the main event. Oh, Hansen. Hansen's the fourth guy.
Right.
It's Hansen versus Chimpa. Chimpe? I fucking have it written down on a different page. Briscoe and Michael Elgin for the ROH Championship.
So I know Michael Elgin because I saw him on the random ROH I watched, and I realized he was from Toronto, which is where we're at, so I thought that was cool. And that Tommaso Ciampa guy, I feel like I've heard his name, but I always confused him with Tyson Tomko.
I'll slam tornadoes in this pit of danger.
But he was wicked badass tonight, so like I kind of like the Briscoes already, because like despite their homophobia, they're pretty cool. But this Ciampa guy, he comes out looking like Dr. Doom. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome, but don't take off the mask because then you won't look cool. He still looked cool without the mask. That's a lot of cool.
Yeah, but he looked like a really high up on the card, traditionally professional wrestler.
Yeah, he looked a lot like Enzo Amore, but I like Enzo, so to me that's cool.
Oh, that was the Enzo Amore. Yeah. He had a beard that ended at the top of what a sideburns would be.
Yeah.
And he had like a mohawk, and his name was, I wrote it down in capital letters, Ciampa. It is Ciampa.
Yeah, but in a weird Italian spelling. But yeah, he was
like
really
C-I-M-P-A.
Cool. So basically, Ciampa was cool, with certain reservations. Jay Briscoe was cool, and I feel like the other two guys weren't as cool, and that's a problem for me.
The best part of this match is somebody goes outside of the ring and opens up what the underneath the ring looks like. Mm. And what we learned is that's where they put all the streamers.
That was my second streamer reference. Yeah, it's like, it was ridiculous. Jay Briscoe went for the table, and it's supposed to be all badass, and Jay Briscoe is clearly the tough one of the two Briscoes, and he's like, I'm getting a table, fuck everyone. But it looks like pastel, like, kindergarten color class underneath that ring. It is full of streamers. It was silly.
It was all of the colors at the same time as everything else, and yeah. it was a really cool thing to see.
It was a delightful rainbow while he's like, fuck everyone, I'm going getting a table. Although, if I recall, he's the one that went through the table. True.
Jay Briscoe gets the table. Elgin gets kicked by Jay Briscoe. While he has Hansen for a fallaway slam, they catch Jay Briscoe, and the fallaway slam is turned into a situation where both people are dropped. Hansen gets Jay Briscoe and Ampa. It's the word I wrote. In the corner. Oh, slammed in the corner. And slaps him for the 10 count. Ciampa.
These notes are pretty weird.
Elgin does a razor's edge to the barracks. Remember that?
To the barricade, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Red-faced motherfuckers rush the ring, destroy everyone.
Oh, yeah, so this is, yeah, kind of, it's weird, because it is that thing, you know, that saying, Chekhov's gun, like, if you put a gun on a night table in act one of a play, someone, so I should have known that the guys in the red masks were gonna do something.
Spoiler alert, that's how Breaking Bad ends up.
Yeah? It starts with I don't know, I got nothing, I'm gonna cut that again. Okay. So the red, I for some reason I didn't see that coming, that the red mask guys were gonna storm the ring, and then they did.
So, it's Ray Rowe, so whoever Ray Rowe is, I don't think he was part of this match, that's what I wrote down. The KRD flees, ref is dead, the referee is dead at this point. Hansen wears a kilt with his face embroidered on his own kilt. And Michael Elgin destroys Jay Briscoe through a table off the apron. Holy shit chant.
Let me ask you something about Cameron. Is that her name?
Yep.
Say you're Jay Uso, right? And you're like, oh, look at this chick. And then you go on a couple dates and you're like, oh, that's pretty awesome. And then she's like, hey, we should get married. And you're like, I guess I have to, right? Like, how do you say no? How do you say no? That would have happened to me. I'd be married to her right now.
I've watched all of WWE Divas, and sure, she references her vagina, like her pussy hole, as a cookie. She's like, you want to get that cookie?
Did she say that? Yep. That should be like,
her remember, t-shirt. Like,
it's me, it's DDP. Like, that's her thing. It just you says, wanna you want to get that cookie? And then her entrance music hits.
You want to get that cookie? So Michael Elgin gets a chair. It's connected to streamers. Nigel McGuinness jumps in to stop the chair shot. Michael Elgin tries to kill Nigel McGuinness. Ciampa hits a chair shot to Elgin, but the ref is dead, so the ref doesn't notice. This is the point when the audience is saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because people are pinning each other and not getting the win because the referee is dead. But finally, another referee comes out. They have another schmoz. Briscoe tells the champion, oh, he falls onto the champion, and 1, 2, 3, Jay Briscoe retains. I think we have a full-on card with no title changes.
And there was a point, like, I don't remember where in that match, but it was really brutal. It was Michael Elgin was on the apron with Jay Briscoe and put him through some weird fucking, it kind of looked like Kevin Steen's package pile driver, but yep, it wasn't, but it was like a head first move through the table. And I was like, oh, you poor fucking guy. Like, you had to take that. That sucked. It looked cool, but I mean, it better hurt. Literally just because of that, I'm not going to be a wrestler anymore. I decided.
So the only thing that happens after that is Samoa Joe comes out.
He did get his streamer off him. That's cool.
Yeah, he declares he's going to be the champion.
He pulls up the apron. He rolls under the ring. He coats himself in streamers.
See, that would be amazing. But no, Samoa Joe just comes out and he says, I'm going to be the next champion. And they have a stare down and the lights go out. Even though I have two sentences written, NXT, March 4th, 2015, Rose versus that word.
Who did Rose?
Ruth?
I literally just saw it and I don't remember. Who did Adam Rose fight? Oh, Tyler Breeze.
Breeze. That's a Z. Look, that's a Z.
So yeah, afterwards we watched this week's NXT, but I guess that's the end.
If you want to get in touch with us, we're youtube.com/spiderhero, youtube.com/smartpro or smodpro.
Oh, smarkpod, I think.
SMARKPROD.
POD for podcast.
SMARKPOD.
Yeah. Or payment on death, like that sweet band.
And that's the bottom line.
You know what song they did? Booyaka Booyaka.
619. That's my stereo.
Ever since you said that, like, now I can't not hear that.
Can't
not
hear.
And I'm always watching Rey Mysterio matches all the time, so.
You can find me on Twitter. It's www.twitter.com/... You know what? Don't go to that address. Go to twitter.com/spiderhero.
Man, you know what's funny is on those rare occasions that we do a pretty much straight up sober episode, it's funny because afterwards you'll like listen to it and go like, hey, that one was good. Those were our better episodes. That's not what this episode is.
www. Okay, let's see if I have any more written down. Nope. But I can't believe we got all through it.
Yeah, that is the most comprehensive review of Ring of Honor 13th anniversary that you're likely to hear.
That's true. I have about 50 pages. Oh, no, less than that. I got written down on the backside. I have about 30 pages of Smarkamania pages written. Not written, but also left. And not also left, but mostly unwritten.
So here's the thing. We're going to have to publish the Smarkmania Diaries. And for Patreon subscribers, if we had a Patreon, they could get free copies.
Well, don't advertise the Patreon that we're going to get. We have to figure out if we have more than 50 viewers / listeners. If we have 50 listeners, I'll fund a GoFundMe.
You'll fund it? Like, just to make them feel better, you'll put the money in?
Yep.
Go fund me. Is that the Bay of Fundy based go funding?
It's more like a situation where I would ask if you wanted to go fund yourself. This has been Smarkamania episode 13, anniversary 13.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. So, of course, if you like this show and you want to hear other episodes, Keith Courage, or we're on iTunes and we're on YouTube and we're on all that shit.
But we're on iTunes, YouTube. We're on smarkmania.com/Keith Courage. Don't go follow that address. It's keithcourage.com/smarkmania.
Bullet Club for life.